Today, the Supreme Court let three lower court decisions stand, seeming to confirm that yesterday's decision on contraception applied to all contraception. Let's review. Yesterday, the High Court said some for-profit corporations, which have religious objections to contraception, do not have to abide by the government's mandate and provide coverage for employees. That ruling was on behalf of the national arts and crafts chain Hobby Lobby and Conestoga, that's a wood specialties company. Both objected to four of the 20 types of birth control approved by the FDA. But the decision seems not to be limited to those four. Nina Totenberg is NPR's legal affairs correspondent. She joins us from Washington, thank goodness, because we have so many questions. Hi, Nina.
Hi, Robin.
And let's just back up a bit, because yesterday, many analysts thought that the ruling did only apply to the four of the 20 FDA-approved contraceptions that these two companies objected to. There were two forms of the morning after pill and two forms of IUDs. But you yesterday said that the ruling did apply to all contraception.
And it does, because the whole basis for the decision is that if you have a moral religious objection to contraception, the court said, and you are a closely held for-profit corporation, you don't have to include it in your plan. And in fact, at oral argument, Hobby Lobby's own lawyer, Paul Clement, was asked by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, if you win, will it apply to not just these four, but to all contraceptive methods? And he said yes.
Yeah. And by the way, closely held corporation, remind us?
Well, it's not entirely clear what a closely held corporation is. It is a corporation that does not have shares, publicly traded shares, and shareholders. So it is controlled by a closely held group of people. Sometimes they're a family, sometimes they're not. But some of the largest corporations in America are closely held. Bechtel, Cargill, Heinz, Toys R Us is quite a large list of multi-billion-dollar corporations that are closely held.
Okay. All right. Well, so that was the ruling yesterday involving closely held companies with religious objections. Today's ruling, we understand that these three cases that were sent back, these were companies that had objected to all forms of contraception, and they won in the lower courts. So tell us more about those cases and what today's Supreme Court move means.
Well, all it means is that here's what we said about contraception. If you're a closely held for-profit company and you have a religious objection to contraception, you don't have to include it in your health plan under Obamacare. It may be that the government wants to pay for it itself. It may be that you can do the workaround that the Obama administration facilitated for religious nonprofits, in which the insurance companies basically eat the expense, and they insure you separately from your company. They insure you for contraception themselves, so that the company, the closely held company, doesn't have to do it. And the reason that the insurance companies are willing to do that is it's a lot less money to pay for contraception than it is to pay for pregnancy.
Well, and these three cases, we understand, are going back to the lower courts just for review.
But it's a formality.
Yeah, formality, right.
It's basically a formality. The Supreme Court says, this is the rule. We've decided this case. Right. Now, here are these cases that have been in the pipeline. We're sending them back to you, lower court. Now, you apply what we said.
Well, we understand that there are a couple dozen more. And does this mean
I think there are something like 40.
Does this mean that any company that's closely held, again, more like a family company in its ownership, but it could be huge, can decide we object to the birth control pill on religious grounds and we don't have to provide it anymore?
I think more or less that is the thrust of the court's decision. If it were obviously a fake to avoid paying some particular kind of coverage, that would be a different issue.
But how do you find that out?
Well, the companies here had long expressed their opposition. And while there are some critics who say, well, they in fact did cover some of these methods at some point, the company basically says, we didn't know we did that. And we object to these because we consider these methods to be a form of abortion. And I have to say that that is a subject of considerable debate. The medical community does not consider these forms of contraception to be in any manner an abortion, but these folks believe that, and the court deferred to their religious belief under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Well, Nina Totenberg, here we are at the end of another session. What is your? I know you'll be forming your year end analysis. What is it? How's it starting to shape up?
Well, it's a divided court. It's 5-4 on a lot of issues. There, you'll read a lot of stuff about unanimity of the court, a new unanimity of the court. My colleague Dahlia Lithwick calls it phonanimity because it may be the bottom line that the court agrees on for the actual result, but disagrees about a whole bunch of very important stuff. And the one place where they really were quite unified was on a whole bunch of technology questions. And the most prominent of those was the question of whether police at the time of an arrest can search your cell phone without a warrant. And the court said unanimously no in an opinion by Chief Justice Roberts. And it's going to be a very significant opinion in terms of the way police conduct business. And so in those cases, I think they don't have quite the emotional pizzazz of social issues, but they have an enormous impact.
Well, Nina, speaking of social issues, we have about a minute here. The one that didn't show up on the docket this year was gay marriage on a federal level. Do you expect to see it next term?
Probably. I mean, we've already had the first federal appeals court, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals based in Denver, ruled that same-sex couples have a right to marry under the Constitution, then that means that the next step is the Supreme Court. Now, there's several other appeals courts that probably will rule in the next few months, and it may be that the court will want to hear from many of these courts before it accepts a case or several cases. But in the end, I think it's most likely that by early next year, the court will have accepted one of these or more of these cases for review and will be hearing cases on the constitutionality of same-sex marriage.
And we'll be calling you at that time. Nina Totenberg, NPR's legal affairs correspondent. Thanks as always.
Thank you.